Good morning, friends. This is Pastor Bob from the Presbyterian Church of Floyd. Once again, we are going to be gathering through the power of the Spirit. Since we are not able to gather together in a sanctuary, but we are always reminded that Jesus is with us and how grateful we are that we have the opportunity to be together even through the power of His Holy Spirit. On this first Sunday following Easter, it's a special time and a time for us to reflect on what the risen Christ means to each of us. But you know, I wanted to, first of all, before I read scripture, read our passage out of John, I want to just mention to you the importance of the gifts of the Spirit that we're reminded of in Galatians 5. It seems to me that at a time like this, when we are all having to spend time locked away and our normal routine of life is being interrupted, we have to remember that we're not alone. Not only do we have the presence of our Lord with us through the power of the Spirit, but we also have friends. We have people who are going through the very same thing, whether here in our local community or all around the country and all around the world. And in this time, we need to be reminded that Jesus calls us to be good disciples and to remember what it's like to live in the power and presence of the Spirit. And in Galatians 5, beginning with verse 22, it describes for us the fruit of the Spirit. It says, "The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit." And I think that's so important for us to remember in these days when we are looking to the future and wondering what the future holds. And especially to remember that one of the fruits of the Spirit is that of patience. And indeed, we need to be patient in this particular time. This morning I want to share a passage of Scripture out of John chapter 20. And again, following my message this morning, Alan Vest has prepared another recording for us, that of Michael W. Smith's famous song, "Friends." And it does again remind us that we have friends who are going through the same thing that we are in this day and age, and how we are not alone. But let us begin now with a scripture passage and a message. This is the Gospel of John, chapter 20, verses 19 through 31. This is Jesus appearing to his disciples. And I have entitled this particular message today, "The Presence of the Risen Christ." Hear now the Word of God. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together, with the doors locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone his sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." Now Thomas, called Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands, and put my finger where the nails were, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Jesus did many other miracles and many other miraculous signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. This is the word of the Lord. Well, on this Sabbath day, 1 week after we celebrated Jesus' resurrection, I hope there is still a sense of awe and wonder in what has occurred. After all, the resurrection is the cornerstone upon which our faith is built. Without the resurrection, Christianity would just be another religion. Jesus would just be another great teacher. And we would still be waiting for the Messiah foretold by the prophets of ancient times. But we rejoice and give thanks because the resurrection occurred. We are assured of it by the eyewitness accounts in the Gospels. And I put great credibility in the story told by John, the disciple whom Jesus loved. It was John who followed Jesus throughout his ministry, who reclined next to Jesus at the Last Supper, and who stood at the foot of the cross and was entrusted with caring for Jesus' mother after Jesus' death. Today we hear from John the proof of Jesus' resurrection. It is a story that makes sense, really, when we look at it in the grand scheme of things. Throughout Jesus' time on earth, he had to do certain extraordinary things to help his disciples and others believe in him. He had to show signs of his deity. He had to reveal his true identity piece by piece so that we would have reason to believe in the resurrection. And today's scripture gives us yet another reason to believe. It is the eyewitness account from John of what happened immediately following the resurrection. It is most likely that the disciples continued to meet in the upper room where the Last Supper had been held. But they now met in great fear of the future. Jesus was gone. And even though some were starting to believe that he had risen again because of the events earlier that morning, they were still confused. What was going to happen to them? They knew of the anger of the Jewish religious leaders toward Jesus that had led to his crucifixion, and they were afraid that their turn would come next. So they were behind locked doors, listening fearfully for every step on the stairs and for every knock at the door. As they sat there on that night following the morning of resurrection, Jesus was suddenly in their midst. Yes, it's one of those mysteries of God, but it's an eyewitness account when John tells us that Jesus suddenly appeared. Instead of scolding the disciples for running away from him at the time of his arrest, instead of telling Peter, "I told you so, I told you you would deny me three times," instead of being the least bit human, Jesus was filled with grace. His words, first spoken, were, "Peace be with you." Then he showed them his hands and side. And John says, the disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. We can only imagine the joy that they must have felt. And then again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you." But he continued this time by saying, "As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." He commissions his disciples to now go forward, being his representatives on earth. And it says, he breathed on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. There is something unique about the words that mean spirit in Greek and Hebrew. In Greek, the word is pneuma, and in Hebrew, it is ruach. In each case, the word has three meanings. It means spirit, it means breath, and it also means wind. So it is significant here when it says that Jesus breathed on them and they received the Holy Spirit. It is this commission to go forth with the message of Jesus Christ that we in the church today can never forget. It is the same commission that Jesus gives us today. We can look back upon this account by John of what transpired in the upper room, and we can think that it is something comparable to the charter of the church. We operate under that same charter today. We are the disciples of Christ today. It means that Jesus Christ needs the church, which is exactly what the Apostle Paul meant when he called the church the body of Christ. Jesus had come with a message for all of humankind, and he was now going to be with the Father. His message could go no further unless the disciples, the church, took it on his behalf. The church would become the voice and the hands and the feet of Christ in the world. But more than anything, it means that the church needs Jesus. The church needs to acknowledge its purpose for existing in the first place, and that is to be the voice, hands, and feet of the risen Christ. If we are to be sent out, we need someone to send us. We need a message to take. We need power and authority with which to speak, and we need someone to turn to when the going gets tough. Without Jesus, the church has no message, no authority, and no one to turn to. Friends, the church, you and me, needs to be reminded of our purpose. We have nothing unique to offer the world if we forget that we are commissioned by Jesus Christ to tell his message, a message that now comes from a resurrected Lord and Savior. The disciples that were gathered in that room on the first night had the advantage of seeing Jesus firsthand. They heard his voice. They saw the wounds in his hands and side, and they felt his breath as he imparted the Holy Spirit. There was no longer any doubt for them. Jesus, the Messiah, had risen as he had promised and as the prophets had foretold. But today, you and I are perhaps more like the disciple who wasn't there that first day. Thomas missed that incredible scene. We don't know from Scripture where he was. Perhaps he just needed to be alone. But when he finally joined up with the other disciples a week later, they had a surprise for him. "We have seen the Lord." But Thomas wasn't so sure. Can't you just imagine him saying, "Really? You expect me to believe that? You mean I missed what might be the biggest moment of my life? How can I be sure?" Thomas said to the others, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." He's saying, "Don't expect me to take this on faith. I need proof. I have been a loyal follower. Why was I left out? I need something to help me believe." This is where the term doubting Thomas comes from. Until Thomas had proof of Jesus' resurrection, he would always have that element of doubt. Doesn't that sound familiar? And notice the prominence that the nail marks in Jesus' hands have come to play. It is this reminder and symbol of the crucifixion that now allows the disciples to believe. But true to the image of Christ that we have come to understand, just as Jesus had told of seeking the one lost sheep, even though 99 were present and accounted for, Jesus heard his loyal disciples' disbelief, and he came back. This time, it was just for Thomas. He came to show him the nail marks in his hands and the wound in his side. If John's account is complete, it appears that Thomas didn't need to actually touch the wounds, as he first said. It was enough to be in Jesus' presence, to see the wounds, and to know that Jesus had made this return appearance just for him, so that he might believe. Thomas's response was the response that should come from all of us when we feel Jesus' presence in our lives. He said, "My Lord and my God. My Lord and my God." If we are to be effective disciples of Jesus in the world today, in a world that needs the message of Jesus so badly, then we need to take this account from John very seriously. Jesus said to Thomas, "Stop doubting and believe." And that is Jesus' message to us today. Stop doubting and believe. And our response is, "My Lord and my God." Amen. Well, indeed, as followers of Jesus Christ, sharing in that bond of love and friendship, let us now hear the recording of Alan Vest, his beautiful music, and the song "Friends" by Michael W. Smith. Thank you.
is true, but we'll keep you close as always. It won't even seem you've gone, 'cause our hearts in million small ways will keep the love that keeps us strong. It's hard to let you go. In the Father's hands we know that a lifetime's not too long to live as friends. And with the faith of love God's given, springing from the hope you live in is the strength that now you show. We'll keep you close as always. It won't even seem you've gone, 'cause our hearts in me that keeps us strong. If friends are friends forever, if the Lord's the Lord of them, and a friend will not say never, 'cause a welcome will not end. Though it's hard to let you go, in the Father's hands we know that a lifetime's not too long to live as friends. And friends are friends forever, if the Lord's the Lord of them, and a friend will not say never, 'cause a welcome will not end. Though it's hard to let you go, in the Father's hands we know that a lifetime's not too long to live as friends. To live as friends. And it's hard to let you know, in the Father's hands we know that a lifetime's not too live as
yes, indeed, we need friends today. Let us thank God that we have them. Have a blessed week. God bless, and thanks for listening.